Happy Easter. You know what? I thank God for the resurrection, because I'm praying for one for Michigan's economy. We need it. A recent Free Press poll showed that 3 out of 10 of us are considering leaving Michigan, and it's not just a vacation. When you look at young adults, nearly half of them think that they might have to leave the state in order to pursue a career. And for those who are considering leaving, about 2/3 wouldn't mind leaving. I don't know, with weather like this, I wouldn't mind leaving either, but I'm pining for spring. Why are so many of us considering leaving family and friends and familiarity and our wonderful weather? I think it's our discontent with what is, our desire and our dreams for what can be. I think that those are the things that drive us to desire to bridge to a better future for ourselves, for our families, for our descendants. A great example is the Mackinac Bridge. Ever since becoming a state in 1837, Michiganders have thought there must be some way that we can connect these two peninsulas, right? Some way to do that. It took them over 100 years to settle on what to do. Another 20 and thousands of laborers and about $100 million in, sadly, 5 lives to build the mighty Mac that connects us fudgies with them dare youpers. And all the beauty and the benefits of that peninsula. And if you've strolled along the beaches on the north shore of Lake Michigan, or watched the rollers strike Superior shores, or if you've seen Pictured Rocks or the Porcupine Mountains, Tequamanon Falls, you got to say it's worth it, don't you? You're wondering why I'm headed down this rabbit trail on Easter Sunday. Some of you are already off that now. I said rabbit and Easter, so you're gone. But ever since the beginning of time, when humans started to imagine about the presence and the reality of God, we began to think of God in lofty and distant terms. History shows that every human culture has concluded that our world is no accident, but a divine design. And therefore, its creator must be an amazing being. I have that sense every time I sit on the beach at my brother's cabin and I watch the sunset. And I watch the stars start to appear in that northern sky that's uncluttered by the background lights of Detroit. Anybody else have that sense? Have this sense that God is a whole lot bigger than we are. And I remember that verse that says, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" Wow. We have an amazing God. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship, the Bible says. If God put all this into place, then God is a lot more wise and a lot more powerful and a whole lot more holy than you and me and all of us put together. The Bible says that God is all-powerful, that God is all-loving, that God is all-holy. He's all-knowing. In contrast, we must admit that we are flawed. We're flawed people. We have faults, and we often fail. We fail ourselves. We fail others. We fail God. All people are the same, the Bible says. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. And all need to be made right with God. The scriptures show what we know to be true. There's a great chasm that exists between us, imperfect creatures, and our perfect Creator. That's where religions come in. over the millennia, belief systems developed as people asked, how can I bridge that gap? How do I connect with God? If you look carefully, you'll discover that every other major world religion begins with the human side of that chasm that separates us and God, and tells us how to get to God by our efforts, build our own bridge. Now, the construction techniques vary. Sitting in a sweat lodge on peyote, washing yourself in the Ganges River, praying to Mecca 5 times a day, meditating until you're enlightened. Even in Christendom, building your own bridge has worked its way into our mentality. Dare I say, saying enough rosaries. But the bridges these religious systems attempt to build to God can never be fully trusted. Why? They're built on the wrong foundation, our imperfect hearts. And they're built with inferior materials, our flawed efforts. Listen to how the 7th chapter of the book of Romans describes it. I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. But I need something more, for if I know God's law, but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. The moment I decide to do good, sin is right there to trip me up. It happens so regularly. That I expect it. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Part of me, Paul says in Romans 7, part of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? Like the Tacoma Bridge that was built in 1940 and collapsed just 4 months later. Our efforts to connect to God are doomed because the sin within us twists and turns even our noblest desires, and the weight of that sin will cause every one of our bridges to collapse. Now contrast that with true Christianity. The Bible teaches that God, from His side, God saw that chasm that separated us from Him. And He calculated the distance for what it really was, much, much further than that 5 miles of the Mackinac Straits. God knew that no amount of human construction could ever span that chasm. So God took the responsibility on Himself. He laid the foundation, motivated by love, motivated by compassion. God built a bridge that spanned the distance, the way over to our side. How and when that day happened? When God sent His Son Jesus, who stated that I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And the Bible says that God wants every one of us to be saved, to know the whole truth, which is there is one God, and Jesus Christ is the only one who can bring us to God. Jesus was truly human, and He gave Himself to rescue all of us. That's what happened on Good Friday. What happened was that Jesus bridged the gap, didn't He? I mean, picture the crossbar of the cross that He hung on. Envision that as the bridge deck that God built. He paid for that bridge with His life. But we can stand We can stand on His shoulders. We can now cross over to that perfect and that holy God. And once you realize that, once you realize what Jesus has done for you, then you're faced with a huge decision, aren't you? It's the most important decision you'll ever make. The question is, do I abandon my construction project and walk across the bridge that Jesus built or not? It's an either-or decision that's got to be made. And here's a drama that may show you how important this decision is.
Everything.
I was 16 years old when I crossed that bridge, when I asked Jesus to forgive my sins. And to lead my life. I asked His Holy Spirit to fill my heart. It was the best decision I ever made. I was going to dismiss them after the altar call, but you may go now. I'd wanted our children to hear this. You know that Easter message? That's the good news. The good news is that no matter what your past has been, no matter how far you've wandered, no matter how badly you've messed up, you can drop your trowel. You can put your hard hat down. And today, you can bridge to a better life in Jesus. It simply requires accepting what He's done and crossing that bridge He's built. Because God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. If you want to be right with God, there's only one way to do it. You can cross that bridge by trusting in Jesus. And if you're ready, I'll guide you into prayer right now. And this Easter can become the bridge to a better life for you. To eternal life. And if you're inspired to do that, just follow me right now quietly or even in your heart. Pray something like this: Jesus, I accept what you did for me through the life you lived and the death you died. Forgive me for my flaws and faults and failures and my false belief that I could get to you, get to God on my own. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I now believe that my only way to bridge to a better life, a life with God, is by crossing with you, by letting you lead my life from this day forward. I commit to follow your lead in everything, Jesus. And I invite you to enter my heart and my life through your Spirit. Thank you, God, that I can call you my Heavenly Father now. And Jesus, that I can call you my Lord, my leader in life. Amen. You know, if you've made that commitment, if you've prayed that prayer from the sincerity of your heart, what I'm going to ask you to do is not to stand up, raise your hand or anything. I'm just going to ask you to take that Discover card, which I'll collect from everybody. Just take a minute to fill the back out where it says, I put my trust in Christ today. Now what? Now maybe you're close, but you've not said that prayer because there are some questions that are left unanswered. You know what? We want to help coach you to that point where you can cross by faith to trusting in Jesus as your forgiver and leader in life. And what I'd like you to do is check that I'm ready to trust in Christ. Or I want to know more about trusting in Christ, call me. And we'll follow up. If you'll identify how you'd like us to get with you, a telephone call, an email, a letter, a visit. We can connect somewhere for a cup of coffee. We'll do that. Because we deeply desire that every one of us, every one of you, cross over and experience the life that God has for you. So I'm going to ask all of you, please, as a courtesy, you've already been asked to fill it out, fold it in half right now and pop it in as they collect them, please. Now, if you've chosen Christ to forgive you and to lead your life, be prepared for another construction project and a process that's going to start beginning today. God's going to give you the nature of a builder. God's going to start reconstructing your life. But not in the typical self-improvement, behavior modification way that culture or religions promote. No. But an inside-out transformation. You just pass those blue pouches down, okay? But an inside-out transformation that the Holy Spirit does. That God, through His truth and His scriptures, do. As He starts to change your perspective on life. Your values, your priorities in life. Your passions about life. And yes, into your conduct and your character. The beautiful point about that is that you don't have to do that on your own. God does it with you as He does it in you. The Bible says anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone, the new has begun. And all this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us the message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. Now sin breaks down our connection with others as well as with God. And we all live with the pain of those conflicts and broken relationships, don't we? And for you to bridge to a better life, some of those bridges, most of those bridges need to be mended. Some of you have chasms in your marriage, in your family, at your workplace, and Sunday dinner today is going to have a bit of bitterness to it, a bit of pain in it, because somebody that you love but are estranged from will either be absent or distant, even though they're there. And you might have to face work tomorrow with those strained relationships. That's the result of our own sin, isn't it? Our flaws and failures, our frailty. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough because of this, the relational breakdowns, and that's what this video shows.
Hi, Joyce.
A show of hands of how many of you have had relational breakdowns at home or amongst your family or at work. Let's be honest. Every one of us, we'd be raising our hands, wouldn't we? You know why? Sin, our flaws, our faults, our failures. Sin creates chasms. Without God's help, some of these chasms get larger and larger. And if you look at it from the human perspective, if you look at it with just our human strength and mind. You look at that family and you think, no way. There is no way that that young man and his father are ever going to be reconciled. No way he's going to be able to bridge that gap to his angry ex-wife. But there's a second piece of wonderful news this Easter. And it's this. Not only has God bridged a gap to you through Jesus, but God can also, through you, God can bridge the gap to others. To span those broken relationships. The Bible says that the same power, the power that raised Jesus from the grave, that supernatural, divine power, is available to ordinary people like you and I. It's available to repair us and also to repair the relationships between us. It takes courage, doesn't it, to reach out and to try to span the chasm of a break in a relationship. To extend a hand when someone's wronged you, when there's hurt, resentment, bitterness. To make the phone call. To write a note. To arrange a meeting and say, let's try to get back together. Let's try to bridge this problem. Let's try to resolve our differences. Let's try to recover our friendship or our love. It often takes tremendous courage. Courage beyond what most of us have our own, but not more than what can be supplied to you and I through the Holy Spirit's power. That Easter power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now I want you to watch these three little video vignettes that involve courage of another kind. A power that only comes from God to help people like you and I reach out a hand and span the chasm of broken relationships. Power is available to you with simply your asking. And I'll encourage you to invite His power into your life to heal your hurts, to correct those flaws, to give you the courage to reach out and reconcile to others as God works through you. And would you look up at this bridge one more time? Because there's one large chasm that I've not yet addressed. That's got to be crossed. That's the chasm from this life into the next life. I was thinking about it because I turned 50 this year, and I got to admit, I'm on the backside of life. Even if I'm going to make it to be 100. You know, we don't like to talk about death, do we? It provokes a lot of uneasiness. Even though our death rate is 100%, we're shocked, aren't we? I mean, really. The greatest risk factor of dying is being born, because it's a certainty in life. We all have this low-grade denial about death, don't we? It might happen to someone else, but it's not going to happen to me. Not from this that I'm doing. Certainly not this year. Part of what drives our denial is that we're not exactly sure of what's going to happen on the other side. So we repress our thoughts about death. Some of us are not exactly sure if we're prepared to meet God, are we? So we just kind of avoid thinking about it. Some of us don't even know, not confident, if there really is a heaven and a hell. and how to get to the preferred location. So we just keep shoving the issue under the carpet. The Bible comes right out and it says, there's a certainty that you've got to deal with. Something that's coming your way inevitably. Some of you watch sports events. How many of you are watching the big dance right now, NCAA tournament? I see it at basketball games, but I see it a lot more football games. Sometimes you see those big cards that people hold up to get the camera to look at them. They say 3:16, right? That stands for John 3:16, which reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son as a bridge so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." You can have it. Jesus says that you can have eternal life. You can have everlasting life. You can know it. You can be assured of it. You can have confidence in it. And every one of us need to grab hold of that confidence. We live in an uncertain, unpredictable world. A world with terrorism, with disease, with car accidents and plane crashes. God knows that. And he's seen the fear we live with. We, his created beings that bear his image. And there was a point in time where God said, you know, I don't want any of my people to live in constant fear about death. So I'm going to make it possible for you to be rock solid sure that you're going to have eternal life. Christ is risen. Absolutely. That's the third great piece of news about Easter. Jesus rose from the grave on Easter Sunday. He built a bridge into the next life, didn't he? That all of his followers would walk over. It's a bridge to eternity. A bridge into heaven. Easter enables us to look forward to death with a sense of assurance and peace and even anticipation instead of fear and of dread. You know why? It's because he is risen. He is risen. That's right. Today, some of you are struggling with disabilities, disease, maybe even a few of you with terminal illness. And many of you are struggling with emotional wounds. You're walking wounded. And you don't see a way out of those wounds, do you? You think, man, I might have to live with this all of my life. God's promise for you, stated in the scripture, is that because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God will transport you across life's final bridge when you die. You'll receive a new body. And I'm looking forward to that because I'm going to get some fuzz on my top again. And your heart will be healed once and for all. And you'll eternally enjoy an environment of rich relationship and beauty. Because you don't have to worry there about a recession or terrorism or accidents or disease or pain. The Bible says that in heaven there's no pain, no tears, and no sorrow. Just wonderful intimacy with God. And with your loved ones who've also trusted Jesus to forgive their sins and lead their lives. Now, what I want to do before I dismiss you today is I want to take one more focused look at this bridge. You know, what I'd love to happen is I'd love for every one of you to be able to walk up here today on stage, walk across that bridge, kind of as a concrete reminder of any decision that you've made today or you might make. A decision to cross the bridge that Jesus built and trust in God and what he's done for you by asking Jesus to be your forgiver and leader in life. Walking across that bridge of committing to reconcile with others. You know what? I'm going to walk across this bridge Because I got two people that I've got to reconcile with. Two loose ends. And I desire to reconnect with those people. I'd like you to all come to a point where you decide, man, I'm going to put down the trowel. I'm going to take off the hard hat. I'm not going to live under the lie that I can somehow be good enough to get to God. I'm going to give it all and trust it all my life to Jesus. And for those of you that have been lived with that low-grade denial and fear, maybe you need to cross the bridge to say, you know what, from this day forward, I'm going to live with confidence, knowing that Easter message is a promise for me. That as Jesus rose, so too I will someday, and I don't have to fear death. And I wish every one of you could walk across this bridge. I wish that we could take a picture of you. Celebrate this moment, this occasion, especially if you've invited Jesus into your life for the first time. Take a picture of it, mark it with joy. It's the day you made your choice, you made your decision. Got connected with God. And some of you would benefit a great deal from the physical act of kind of putting down your own trowel. I wish I had trowels to hand out. Okay, put down the trowel. Take off the hard hat. But let me ask you very specifically, what program are you on? Are you on the self-effort program? That's what religion teaches us. It's spelled D-O. And you can never be sure, never be confident that you ever reach, that the bridge is going to be strong enough, that can go far enough. You're still working your own way? Why not say, I'm done with it? Why not embrace true Christianity? That's spelled D-O-N-E. It's a recognition of what God has done through Jesus Christ. All of you, others of you have done it. But you need to bridge the gap. You need to extend a hand to someone that you've been alienated from and that you need to be Jesus too. So I want to challenge you today, this day, that you're going to get off dead center with some of those damaged relationships. And you're going to do what God did for you. Take the initiative. Bridge the gap. Seek to bring reconciliation and restoration. For your sake, for their sake. You might have to make a phone call, shoot out an email, send a letter, arrange for a visit, but I want to challenge you today. Today could be an Easter, a relational Easter between you and someone else. Can you imagine the difference in our world if all people all over reached out, crossed the lines, bridged the barriers, racial lines, economic lines, you name it. Just think about that. Wow. Some of you just need the hope of heaven. And you need to put that fear behind you. And maybe you need to cross that bridge today and say, you know what? I'm not going to live with that anymore. I'm going to have the courage and confidence. You see, because heaven is available to each and every one of us right now, we can live with certainty, with confidence in our heart. That's the Easter message. That's our Easter hope. You can live with certainty in your heart. And that's why I have optimism. Even though the economy stinks and it needs to be resurrected. But I know that I serve a God who came back to life and who lives in me and can live in you and through us can repair anything. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a song, play a song for you. And I want you to reflect on it. It's a song that invites us to imagine what that bridge to the next life will be like. And what I want to offer you to do as you leave this Easter Sunday is I want to offer you and invite you, if you'd like, you're welcome to come up and walk across that bridge just as a sign between you and God. And while you're walking across that bridge, Just say a quick prayer. Jesus, if you've never trusted Him, say a quick prayer. Jesus, I choose to trust in You and the bridge You've made. Maybe, if it's to reconcile, you need to pray, God, help me to bridge the gap with people that I need to repair things with. Or, maybe if it's about facing death, you need to say, God, enable me to cross that bridge to the next life with confidence, with courage, with hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your great love, Your great care and concern for us. Thank You, Father God, that in Your incredible wisdom, You made a plan. You took care of what we couldn't. You sent Your Son. He lived a perfect life. And in our stead, He paid the penalty for our flaws and faults and failures. Father God, thank You for that. Jesus, we thank You for bridging the gap. And we thank You for rising from the dead, for giving us confidence to face the future, to face eternity. We thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit, who changes us from the inside out and enables us to be bridge builders. We invite Your power. We invite that resurrection power of Easter to enter our hearts, to enable us to believe and trust in You, and to become You to the world, and to face the next life with confidence, we pray. Amen.